Paul said that we as Christians are to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. That's verse 2. So we're offering God our body in the way we live each day. As you get up and go to your work, this gives your work meaning. Some of you may hate your job. I want to challenge you with that. If God has given you a job, do it for His glory. Find joy in it. Because that it's a blessing to do work and to be creative and to provide and pay the bills. It's a blessing from God to do that. Amen? And when we go and do that, God will give His people opportunities to use our jobs for His glory. So offer your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord and serve Him by serving others, by speaking of the gospel to people when you can. And all of that flows out of a mind that is being transformed. He says in verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into the world's cookie cutter. Don't think like the world. Don't live like the world. Don't be, if somebody looked at your life and how you live, is there a difference between you and the world because of Christ in your life? And so Paul is saying, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and then you will be able to discern God's will. You'll be able to understand the Scriptures as He's opening your mind, and the Holy Spirit is working in your mind. And I said last week, sometimes we have these old thinking patterns ingrained into us. And, you know, things like racism down here in the South. These thinking patterns. Or maybe, men, it's the way you have been taught to look at women. Or, you know, it could be anything. The way that we think. And it gets ingrained in us. But Christ comes in, and once you are born again, He begins to show us the wrong thinking patterns and to transform the way we think so that we are thinking on the Lord, so that we are worshiping Him and walking with Him in communion throughout the day. We're praying to Him. We're reading His Word. It's changing the way we think, the way we view the world, our mindset, our worldview, our attitude that's being transformed. Now, that is what we have seen. We need renewed minds. And this is a process that will last your whole life as a Christian. Don't get discouraged if you've been a Christian, you know, for a while and you still run into these old thinking patterns. This is a lifelong process of laying it down and submitting to God and asking Him and cooperating with the Holy Spirit to transform the way you think. You'll be, you know, as you follow Christ, you'll be, this transformation and this renewal will be happening till the day you die. God won't quit on us. He is working in our lives as His people. So that's awesome. That's exciting. That's what Christianity looks like. But today, as we continue in this Scripture, Paul is going to show us what a renewed mind looks like. I think this is so cool because he's fleshing this out for us a little bit. What do Christians think about? Today, Paul is going to show us how Christians think. What is renewed thinking? So if you would, open your Bibles there, Romans 12. Let's look at verses 3 to 5. And we'll look at some ways that God wants us to think as a Christian. So the message today is called renewed thinking. So here we go, verses 3 to 5. Paul says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually, what are we? Members one of another." It's the way we think. Praise God for His Word. Would you quickly just pray with me? Ask the Lord to speak. Oh God, we humble ourselves before Your Word. Change us from the inside out. Holy Spirit, would You speak through the Scriptures? Open our hearts and our minds. Renew our minds. Help us to think as You, oh God, would have us to think, so that we can live as You would have us to live for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think in these three verses, there are two thinking patterns that God wants us to have as Christians. So coming into this, if you're taking notes or you know you want to kind of wrap your brain around where we're going today, we're going to look at two ways God wants Christians to think. And the first one is this. Thinking rightly, this is the very first one Paul starts with, means that we understand in our thinking that we are not God. That's basic. That's really basic. And yet, we have trouble with this. How often do we get up and think the world should revolve around us? And it changes the way we treat people. Because when someone crosses us, you know, see, this is our sin nature. It's selfishness. But the first way that a Christian should think is to understand that we are not God. Paul says here in verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you." This is a message for everyone in the church. Everyone who's a Christian. Men, women, Jews, Gentiles, whatever your status or your occupation is, rich or poor. This is how you think if you are a Christian. I want to point out, first of all, though, I think the first thing we notice here is the first word in the sentence, "for." That's a connecting word, isn't it? It means because. So listen, let me help you in your Bible study. Whenever you just open up the Bible and you start reading, if you see a connecting word like for, because, therefore, go back and read what came before that. Because the author is not starting a new thought. He's expanding on what he's already said. Context helps us understand what the author is getting at. People, we're notorious about this. We'll open up the Bible and choose a verse. And without the author's train of thought, we could make that verse say whatever we want it to say. And people do that. They twist the Bible. Don't do that here. What I want us to see is that Paul, by starting with the word for or because, he's flowing out of what he just said, which is how to think. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. For, because, by the grace that's been given to me, I want to say to everyone, don't think. Okay, so the second thing we notice, the first thing we notice is that this verse is connected to how we think. Verse 2. The second thing we notice when we look at this is that the word think, Paul uses the word think three times. If the author uses the same word three times in one verse, that's a clue as to what he's talking about. So he's telling us how to think. For by the grace given to me, I say to you, don't think in a certain way. He's showing us how a renewed mind or a Christian's mind that's being renewed day by day, this is how we learn to think. All right, so far so good. Let me say this. There is a right way of thinking for Christians. There is such a thing as a healthy, mature, godly way to think. We got to start there. Again, this is basic. There's a way that Christians should think and a way that we should not think. So Paul starts us off by showing how to think rightly about ourselves. We got to view ourselves rightly, the way God wants us to see ourselves. And the first thing Paul tells us about how to think of ourselves rightly, I think this is very surprising. Because if we went out on the street today, if you took a poll, you got out there with a clipboard and some paper and a pen, and you went door to door and said, you know, I'm asking people, how do you think God wants us to think about ourselves? I think zero people would answer with what Paul gives us here. Zero. I think no one would probably start here. You might take a second, and what do you think some people might say? Just off the street. How do you think God wants us to think about ourselves? We'd probably hear that God wants us to realize how amazing we truly are. Is that what we hear today? Or that God wants you to discover the true hidden potential inside of you. God just wants you to see how beautiful you really are. Now, there's some truth to that because we're made in the image of God. Amen? Every human is to be treated with dignity and respect because they are made in the image of God. However, something happened early in the Bible right after He made us in His image. Chapter 3. You don't have to read very far. People today talk like chapter 3 is not in the Bible of Genesis. Yes, we're beautiful. We're made in the image of God. But sin happened and crushed it and broke. You know, if you break a mirror, if you step on a mirror and it's got cracks in it, you can still see the reflection, but it's messed up. And so we're made to reflect God, but our reflection is messed up by sin. And that's true for all people. We are beautiful messes. And so Paul doesn't start with a me-centered thinking. A proud, you know, just discover how beautiful you are. Discover the champion in you. Nowhere. The Bible, this is not the gospel. It doesn't start there. We start with realizing that we are not God and that He is the Creator and we are the creature. Do you see how God-centered Paul's word is? It's so different than what we would say. God, through His Word, wants to humble us. He thinks, yes, that He loves us so much, but He needs us. He wants us to understand that we're broken. And so our tendency is a self-centered, proud kind of thing. But Paul says the first thing the renewed mind of the Christian needs to understand is that we are not God. So don't think too highly of yourself, he says in verse 3, but think with sober judgment. What does the word sober mean? I mean, we when we hear the word sober, we usually think of it as a contrast to being drunk, out of your mind. Sober means to think clearly, right? To have your wits about you, to think with wisdom, to think as things really are. In other words, think of yourself in a way that is in tune with how God sees and how God wants us to think. According, down there we see, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now that is an interesting phrase. But look at that phrase. Think about yourself according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to you. Do you see how God-centered that phrase is? I'm just pointing this out. Man's wisdom exalts man and brings God down. We tend to forget how holy God is, and we tend to think sin is not a big deal. What are we doing? We're pushing us up and bringing God down. He's not that great. I mean, yeah, He's God. You know, we're pretty good too, though. Why should God be angry when we sin? You see, we've brought God down and brought us up. The Bible always does just the opposite. I'm helping you read your Bible with understanding. When you read your Bible, notice how it treats God and people. It humbles man and exalts God all over the place, cover to cover, New Testament, Old Testament. So when our thinking is lined up with God's thinking, we're going to humble ourselves and exalt God. This is how Christians think. As we go from day to day, think more highly of God and be humble in our estimation of ourselves. Now, let me clarify what we're not saying. All right, Paul is not saying, renewed self-vision is not hating yourself. Despising yourself, being discouraged that God doesn't want anything to do with me. There's nothing, you know, I'm terrible, I'll never amount to anything. That's not what we're saying. Don't twist it. Okay, what is it saying then? The renewed mind and the self-vision that we're to have is humility. It is putting us in our proper place in comparison with God. God puts us in our place. And so he's talking about not being proud, not being haughty, not being narcissistic, not being self-centered or arrogant in our self-vision. Christians should not have delusions of grandeur. We're to be humble. If you see a proud Christian, okay, who looks down on others, this is a sign of immaturity. Not of, I'm growing in my understanding, I'm having a renewed mind. When we're proud, we're thinking in an immature way. But as we grow and progress in Christ, our sin seems worse and worse because we're recognizing how beautiful and holy God is. We've elevated Him. He's in His proper place in our thinking, and we're in the proper place. We're falling before Him in worship. And so our sin is not becoming more trivial. The longer you walk with God, the littlest sins break your heart. And so as we mature in the Lord, we don't want to sin. We humble ourselves before Him, and we're grateful and we're thankful. The gospel is not about dreaming big visions for yourself and then having enough faith to accomplish them. That's the prosperity gospel. Some people focus on, you know, coming up with some big vision and then just having enough faith to accomplish it. And this thinking is an immature kind of thinking. When we're called to focus on God and His visions and His dreams, He is prominent and not us. So that kind of teaching twists God's Word, and it makes verses like, I can do all things through Christ, about winning a football game or getting rich, instead of what it actually means in its context, which is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4. In its context, that verse means I can suffer through whatever God puts me through because Christ is enough. Read what Paul's saying there. I know what it means to have plenty and to go without. I know how to suffer. I know how to be blessed. I can do all things through Christ. It's not a verse that we twist about ourselves. That's an immature view. And so Paul is telling us that a renewed mind understands that God is God and I'm not. So let me boil it down a little more. When he says to think of yourself according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to you, I think a good way to unpack that is to embrace the limitations God has placed on our lives. And not just the limitations, but the allocations. Okay? Embrace joyfully the limits and the gifts God has given to you. Don't kick against the limitations God has put in our lives. Renewed thinking embraces the fact that God is God and He has a plan for my life. He hasn't turned it over for me to just go do whatever I want to do. He has set some limitations on my life. Now, this is opposite of the message of the world. Again, it's two different messages. The message of the world says, you can be whatever you want to be. Believe in yourself. You can do whatever you want to do. And man, that pumps us up. That human pride. Again, every Disney movie you ever watch, will somewhere in the movie, it will say, just believe in yourself. That's the theme. That's the world's message. And it's not just Disney. I'm not knocking them, you know. What I'm saying is, God thinks differently from us. This broken world system. We want to believe in ourselves, and that's nowhere in the Bible. Instead, believe on the Lord. Put your hope and your trust in Him. Let me just point out a few verses that kind of talk about God having a plan and a purpose and a limitations and allocations of certain giftings for our life. So look with me here, Psalm 57:2. The Bible says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. Notice how biblical writers, whose minds are being renewed, they're being guided by the Spirit as they write these things, notice where their thinking is. You know, we don't talk like that until we grow and mature in the Lord. We're all about what we want to do. But the Bible says, I'm crying out, I'm praying, I'm singing to my God who fulfills His purpose for me. And again in Psalm 138:8, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. And that's His hope and His encouragement. He's sad, He's going through hard times, but He pulls Himself up by saying, God is going to fulfill His purpose for me. Opposite of what people most normally do. We usually encourage ourselves by saying, I'm going to do better. Right? I'm going to try harder. This week, I'm going to kill it. Crush it. That's how the world views it. But the mature mind in Christ, as we're growing, we look away from ourselves and we look to Christ. And we say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen to me this week. I don't know how well I'm going to do today. But that's not where my focus is. I know whatever happens, good or bad, the Lord is working out His plan for me. How is that better? Because even when my world seems to be falling apart, I don't despair. Because I know there's a reason and a place for that thing in God's plan. And I can pray about it. And I can receive strength to walk through it. And God may take it away and ease the pain, or He may just strengthen me to walk through the pain. I don't know which way it is. And so this morning, I know you hear preachers on TV, Walmart's section of books, and wherever you go, it's almost all are focused on God wants you to live pain-free. And that's not in the Bible, guys. And so I don't want to fill you with false hopes. There's hurts in this world. But a mature believer is having his mind renewed and he's being equipped to walk through those hurts with the Lord and to even be happy about it as he embraces the limitations that God has placed on his life and embraces the giftings and the path that God has given. Do you see the difference in those two ways of looking at it? I'll give you some more. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You can think all day long. You can plan. You can have it all worked out on paper. And then God does something completely different. We've been there, haven't we? So what do? Do you get mad and cuss and kick and scream? And do you embrace the limitations God has on your life? You can plan a picnic all month long and it will rain on that day. How are you going to respond to God? I didn't have enough faith. No. God sends rain on the earth. And Jesus said the wind blows where it will, thus canceling out the occupation of meteorologist for all time. Right? No, you're never going to get it right. The wind blows where it will. I'm just joking about meteorologists. You can be a meteorologist to the glory of God. Just allow for the unexpected move of God, right? So, look at Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. The Lord never gets surprised by rain on a picnic day. His plans will always take place. You see a difference between us and God. He's creator, we're creature. He's transcendent, higher. His thoughts are higher than ours. So, Christian, how are you going to think? You're going to go around blowing up every time something doesn't work out? It's immature thinking. It's about me and what I want and my plans. Or you humble yourself under God and you realize that the first thing the Bible wants me to know about how to think as a Christian is to recognize that God is God and I am not. And I embrace the limitations that God has set up in my life. And I receive the blessings and the giftings God has given me. And I don't want to wish I had another gift. No, I'm going to embrace the gift He gave me. And I'm not going to try to climb over the fences God has put around my life. You can waste a lot of your life trying to tear down fences God has put around you. Now pray about the fence. He may take it down. It may be there for a season. But when we waste our lives because I want what's over here, no, there's a fence there for a reason. And as we mature in Christ, you know what we learn? Those limitations are not bad. Guardrails keep you from going over the edge to destruction. Limits can be good. And so there's a purpose. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. They had a lot of questions for him. Look what he said to them in 1 Corinthians 7:17. He says, "Only let each person lead the life the Lord has assigned to him." Oh man. You mean this is really taught all over the Bible? Yes, sir. Let each person lead the life the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches, not just you, Corinthians. And you apply that all over the place, you know, as God is, as your mind is being renewed and you're discerning what God's will is for you, learn to embrace His plan instead of fighting God's plan to try to get over here and do what you think you want. This is going to be better. You know how much time you can save? You know how much tears you might save? Quit trying to go over the fence. I like that spouse, not mine. There's a fence there. Right? I wish this. I wish I had this gifting in the church, this ministry. I wish fill in the blank. And you know what? God may work and things may happen. But in this season, when that fence is there, embrace it. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus tell us to serve Him? He said, if anyone... Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, if you want to be a Christian, let him fulfill himself. Is that it? We're all about self-fulfillment today. Jesus was about what? Self-denial. If anyone wants to be a Christian, let him deny himself and take up his cross, his instrument of death, and follow me. I mean, how in the world can there be large portions of Christianity given over to, here's how to get rich and to live your best life now and all this, when the one we follow, they murdered him and he said, yeah, come follow me. There's going to be hardships and limitations, but it's good. And what did Jesus pray? Did he run away from his cross? Did Jesus climb over the fence and say, I want a different plan for my life, God? Now, he wrestled in his flesh in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, he prayed about it. He was feeling the wrath of God starting to be there, pressing on him, and the cross was coming. And he said, Lord, if you can take this cup away from me, great. But then what did he pray? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He showed us how to live in that garden. He embraced the limitations God had set, the will that God had set, and he drank that cup to the bottom. Fulfilled our salvation there. He hugged his cross. He laid down. Once he knew, right, it's settled. This is God's will. He's not going to take it away. He gave himself to it. And that's our example. We don't run from our cross, we embrace it. It's the will of God. That's what self-denial means. Not talking about how bad you are, because you're still focusing on yourself then, right? Humility is not thinking you're terrible, right? Because you're still thinking about yourself. That's just an inverted form of pride. You're still the center of the thing. No, no. Look away from yourself and look to Jesus. That's how we live. Embrace your cross. And come follow Him. So that is how we live, and that is how we think as Christians. Lead the life He's assigned. That goes with the measure of faith that God has assigned. The mind that is being renewed by God begins to understand that everything I have is from the Lord. Everything I have is from the Lord. All of my strengths and all of my weaknesses are tailor-made to what the Lord wants to teach me. All of my strengths and all of my weaknesses are tailor-made for what the Lord wants to teach me and how He wants me to know Him more. Even my faith doesn't originate within myself. It is the gift of God so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul wrote to the Corinthians again. He said, if everything you have, you got it from God, why are you boasting about it? How can you boast about anything if everything we have is a gift? Right? If you're really super fast and you can win a race, I mean, you may have worked and developed that gift, but God made you fast. You know what I mean? And so the glory goes to Him. In fact, in a few years, when we get over two chapters from now, Romans 14, verse 1, you might flip over there and see how it starts off. Verse 1 says, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions." Some Christians are weak in faith and some are strong in faith. It says, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. We're all given different assignments and allocations and giftings from God. In fact, that's where this passage is going, the church and the gifts. God has not given me every gifting in the church. I need to be humble and think of myself soberly and understand that I am not God. And we begin to understand that the limitations God has set on us are not bad. They're part of His good plan. That's the first thing that Christians need to think and need to understand how to think, is that we are not God. The second one, oh my goodness, thinking rightly, you belong to the church. That's the second thing. I think this is just as surprising as the first one. Again, if you made a list of how God wants me to think, these two probably wouldn't even be on the list. But they're on God's list. If you are being renewed in your mind, if you're walking with God, here's how God wants you to think day by day. First of all, He wants you to understand, I'm not God. I have limitations on my life, so I'm going to embrace them and run with it to His glory with joy. Because I believe He's put those limitations and those specific giftings and things He's brought in my life there for a reason, for His glory and my good. So amen. The second thing you need to understand as a mature Christian is that you are not to live out your Christian life by yourself in isolation. You are, by God's design, from the moment you become a Christian, you are part of the body of Christ, and you need to learn to think like that and live like that. So many people come to the Lord and then fall out with failure to understand that I am to live this thing out as part of a group, a family, a church body. An immature Christian doesn't see a need for the church. But a mind that's being renewed understands I need the church. And the church needs me. And by the way, I'm not just talking about attending church. I'm talking about living my life in fellowship with believers. The mind that is being renewed. Do you see this in your Bible? All right, let me show you. Look here, verse 4 and 5. What does that sentence begin with in verse 4? For, or what does for mean? Because. Do you see there's a connecting word there too? What does that mean? It means Paul's still talking about how we think. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Don't be conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 3. For, or because. Don't think of yourself too highly. Verse 4, for or because you belong to the church. These connecting words show that this is all part of one big argument for how we are to think. Do you see that? Connecting words are so helpful. It shows us Paul has not moved on to a different topic. He's still talking about the renewed mind. When we're thinking with a spiritually mature mind, we learn that we belong to the church. We begin to see ourselves as part of the people of God. We begin to learn that our identity in Christ necessarily means that I am part of His church, the people of God. Which means that a spiritually immature mind sees no need for the church and thinks only as an individual, not in corporate terms. 1st of all, Paul says we are one body in Christ. Paul wants you to understand and me to understand that being a Christian is like the human body. There are many diverse parts with many different jobs and functions, but all of the parts of the body belong to the same body. This is such a helpful metaphor, and Paul uses it all the time. Ephesians, Colossians, here in Romans. And so, There's diversity because we're not all the same, but there's unity because we're all in Christ. This goes with what we've already learned in verse 3 about thinking of ourselves in a humble and sober way. It means that we as individuals are not the body of Christ. I want you to understand something, Christian. You by yourself are not the church. You are a part, a member of the church. You aren't the whole body, brothers and sisters, and I'm not either. I'm a pastor, all right? And I can sing. And I like to do some things. I've got some gifts. But I can't do it all, and God doesn't want me to. Amen? I need you. I'm weak, and I struggle, just like you. And I need what God has put in you. And we need each other. This is part of embracing the limitations and thinking in a mature, sober way. We need our minds renewed. I'm not God, number one. And number two, I'm part of the church. And I got to run to this body because that's God's will. God has designed that we live out this Christian life not in isolation, but by giving ourselves to imperfect people in the church. This is so easy and clear, and so many Christians don't get this. They stumble at this point. Are all of you listening? Are you getting this? This is how God wants you to think. He wants you to see yourself not independently. Just me and Jesus, baby. That's all I need. No, sir. When He puts you in Jesus, guess who else is in Jesus? All the other Christians. So by being a member of Christ, you are also a member of one another. That's what this verse is saying. Amen? So you say, well, I'm in Christ. Yeah, and so am I. So we're together. And by the way, you can't live out your life with every Christian in the whole world. So that's why you have local churches. You got to give yourself to a local church somewhere. It is not God's will for you to live out the Christian life by yourself without a local church family. It is not God's will. And I don't even have a hesitation about saying that. That's a bold statement, but I'm like 100% there. It's in the Word. It is not God's will for you to do this by yourself. And I'm going to say it a few more times. It is not God's will for you to live the Christian life by yourself. It is not His plan for you to do this without the church. We got it yet? I can say it more. So many people miss this. I don't know if it's the rugged, American individualism or the sin nature that is so self-centered. Perhaps it's being afraid to be held accountable by other people. But we live in a privacy fence culture that just wants me or me and my family. Family is good. God designed it. But God wants us to tear our spiritual privacy fences down and let the church in. That's God's will. That's not this preacher's unique vision for this church. That is Scripture, brothers and sisters. And if you are not pouring yourself out in a church, you are out of the will of God. You are banging your head against a post there. Your spiritual life, you've come to a limit. You're not going to advance. You got to get this. God wants you to embrace the church. You don't have all the gifts. You need the church. He's told us to think of ourselves according to the measure of faith God has given us. Because, why? Not all body parts have the same function. God has arranged it this way. This is how the renewed mind thinks. Then the next thing here is that we belong to each other. People used to talk like this. I belong to the church, down here. And we really don't talk like that anymore. We're like, I belong to Jesus. And yes, you do. Amen. But you also, look what he says. We are members one of another. Do you see that? Is that in your Bible, brothers, sisters? You are a member, a body part, that's connected to the one sitting by you, and the one in front of you and around you. And you need them, and they need you. And that's the way God has designed this to work. So God assigns struggles in our lives to drive us to the church. God allows hard things to come into our life so that we'll run to the church and walk through it together. I believe that. You say, why did this thing come into my life? Maybe part of it is to drive you to the church. Y'all pray for me? Somebody else? Oh, I went through that. Let me help you. It's a spiritual fact that we belong to each other. He's not saying, go make yourself part of the church. He's saying, it's true. When you were placed into Christ, when you believe, you became part of His people. We're members of one another. Every part of the body is necessary. Everyone has an important function. This means that thinking rightly about ourselves means seeing ourselves as part of the church and living out our purpose in the church. Now, there's all kinds of illustrations and examples, but I mean, just imagine your human body. This is the metaphor Paul gave us. Imagine your human body trying to accomplish a goal, some simple goal, shooting a basketball or, you know, eating a meal. Imagine your body trying to do something, but half of your members, half of your body parts refuse to do their job. Is that going to make things difficult for you to accomplish a simple task? I mean, imagine your arms and your legs are trying to accomplish something, but your lungs and your liver and your eyeballs shut down. That's going to cause a strain on the rest of the body that's still trying to get the job done. So let me say this. If you are not doing your job in the church, if you're not participating, not functioning, not faithful to the life of the church, that means that the other body parts have to do their job plus yours. And I don't say that to be mean or crack a whip, you know. This is the metaphor Paul uses. And this is just reality of life in a local church family, isn't it? When we step back and refuse to fulfill a function in the body, it's like your body part's shutting down. And the body's still trying to get her done, but you know what's happening? There's pressure on the rest of the parts. And that leads to burnout among Christians who are trying to do too much because they don't have any help. Amen? And so there's a challenge here, isn't there? If your mind is being renewed, then you're going to be learning to see that you're part of the church and you have a function, you have a gift, you have a chore, you have a part of the work that God wants you to help out with. And when you refuse to do that, you're sinning against God, but you're sinning against the church by not loving them well, by not serving, by not helping. There's people here who need what God put in you, man. We need you. And vice versa, you need the church. Now, I've heard people say, I don't need the church. Have you ever heard people say that? I want to show you something in Scripture. Maybe you've never seen this before. The Bible says you can't say that. The Bible says you can't say you don't need the church. You may approve it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:21. Look, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. What do you say? Can you say it or not? You can't say it. There's one of those limitations God has placed on your life. God says you can't say you don't need the church. You can't say it. Imagine your eyeball saying to your hand, I don't need you. How's that eye going to pick up anything? He can't. He needs the hand, right? That's the way God, it's the nature of the thing, right? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. How's the head going to get anywhere if there's no feet? You need each other. But God has so composed the body that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. If I place my hand on a hot stove, my whole body's going to, you know, take part in that response, that pain. Have you embraced this thinking in your life? Are you butting heads with it? Yeah, you know, some of us, we draw a line in the sand. Here's how much I'm willing to give to the church, but I won't go farther than this. And you know, God just wants to erase the line and say you belong to each other. Live out your faith together. That's just the way you think with the renewed mind. Some of you, this may be hard for you, and this morning maybe God wants you to humble yourself before Him and repent and say, you know what, God, I have been thinking in terms of me and God, me and God, me and God. And I see in the Word of God this morning that that is wrong thinking. That's wrong behavior. That is selfish. It's rejecting the limitations you put on my life. It's me thinking that I've got all the gifts and I can do it all. Father, you know, you pray this, you repeat, or repent before the Lord. I can't do it all. I give you this messed up thinking and I ask you to renew my mind. Help me to see that I'm not God and I need the church. I'm not God and I'm not the body. I need God and I need the body. This is what God wants to do in us. And let me close by just pointing out that Paul is, he's doing just what he's preaching. He's practicing what he's preaching. Look back at verse 3. Paul started this whole thing by saying, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think of himself more highly." What did he say? By the grace given to me, I'm going to tell you how to think. You see what Paul's doing there? The grace of God, in chapter 1, he talks about that God's grace made him an apostle. In other words, Paul is not saying, I'm making myself the leader of the church. He's saying, by the grace given to me. He's thinking of himself according to the measure of faith that God assigned to Paul. He's receiving the gift that God gave him as an apostle. And he's walking in that. Do you see, that's so helpful that he worded it that way. He's showing us how to do it. By the grace given to me as an apostle, I'm telling you how to think. And we can respond and say, you know, by the grace of God given to me, the limitations and giftings He's put on my life, I can now go and do those things. And next week we're going to look at some specific gifts in the church. We're going to talk about how to use our gifts for the glory of God. But it starts with the right thinking, doesn't it? Paul set it up this way. By God's grace, embrace the limitations on your life that God has placed there for a good reason. You can't be anything you want to be. But listen, you can be what God wants you to be. You can't go try hard and if I work hard enough, if I believe hard enough, I can do anything I want to do. No, you can't. That's the world's gospel and it doesn't work. Not everybody is gifted like LeBron James on a basketball court. You can't be LeBron James, probably. You can't. You can believe really, really hard that you're the next Michael Jordan in my day, right? You can't be him. I don't care how much faith you have, how much work you put into it, you're probably not going to be him. But who can you be? You can be what God has gifted and called you to be. Right? See those limitations as from God for a good reason. That's mature thinking. Quit bashing your head. Quit trying to climb over the fence. Get somewhere God doesn't want you. Your lane. Your gift. Right? And as you do that, live your life connected to the church. That's how Christians who are mature think. Church needs you and what God put in you, and you need us. You can't say you don't. The Bible says you can't say that. If you didn't learn anything else today, you learned that the Bible says you can't say you don't need the church. That option is not ours. Let's repent before the Lord. Would you bow? God, we just ask you to renew our minds. We want to think about ourselves in a right way, God. We want to have right thinking. We don't want to be thinking things that aren't pleasing to you. These ingrained patterns. We need renewal in our minds, Lord. We need to understand that You're God and we're not. And that we're not the church either. We're just a part. Father, help us to embrace these two patterns of thinking this morning. Help us to surrender to Your plan for us. Lord, would You build Your church Your way? God, if there are people here who are in need of repentance, they are trying to climb the fence and reject Your limitations and Your giftings, would You bring them to repentance before You today? Maybe someone is here who isn't a believer. God, help them to see that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And He rose from the dead. And that salvation is through faith in Christ, not in our works and efforts. God, I pray that all of us, whatever level, whatever place we are in the journey, let us surrender to You and Your will. Father, I pray for those who are rejecting the church. God, I pray for those even in our membership who have drifted from us. God, we pray for them. We love them and we need them and we want You to go after them by Your Holy Spirit and bring them back to us. And God, we want to be used of You to do that. Help us to reach out to those who have drifted, Father, to love them and pray for them, and meet with them, whatever it takes. Father, I pray for any here today who they're wrestling with this. Maybe You're showing them today that they come and they sit, but they're not functioning. They're a body part and they're here, but they're not doing what You've called them to do. God, I pray that You will give just a soft heart to repent, to turn away from that, and to embrace the kind of thinking that sees themselves as part of Your people, part of the body of Christ. Holy Spirit, would You build this church to be a healthy church where all the parts are doing our jobs, that we're loving each other and glorifying You, Lord, by working and serving the way that You're worthy of, oh God. Father, build that here because we can't do it on our own. Have Your way with us, God. Show us how to think in a clear, sober-minded way according to the measure of faith that You've assigned. We love You. We thank You, oh God. In Christ we pray.